Incredible privilege today to learn Yevamis Daf Yud Aleph, page 11, and just a little bit of a quick chazara. So remember again, we spent a good amount of time on this daf focusing on the machlokes, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. A fundamental machlokes, which is as follows. The machlokes was framed in a case of hacholetz the yevimto v'chazer v'kidsha. So that's how it was framed, where, let's say again, Reuven dies, leaves behind two wives, Rachel and Leah. Shimon does chalitza, and then decides afterwards to go ahead and remarry. He does chalitza with Rachel, and then decides to illegally remarry her, because it's illegal to remarry a woman once you did chalitza with her. So there's a homach locus. But without focus as much on the case, to focus a bit more on the fundamental machlokes, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish holds that it is only the brother who does chalitza whose status changes, I should say, whose relationship changes with his former sister-in-law. That Reish Lakish holds the brother who did chalitza with the woman who he did chalitza, their relationship is downgraded now to a lav, to a prohibition. In other words, the iser kares of Eshes Ach, of a brother's wife, is taken away. However, that only applies to the brother who did chalitza and to the wife with whom he did chalitza. All of the other brothers and any other co-wives are still subject to the prohibition of Eshes Ach with an Iser Kares. Rabbi Yochanan vehemently argues on this, and explains that is not correct. The brother who does chalitza is acting on behalf of all of the brothers, and the wife with whom he did chalitza ultimately, again, is representing all of the wives. And therefore, once one brother does chalitza, all of the brothers are downgraded from the Iser Kares of Eshes Ach ultimately to a lav, and all of the co-wives are also downgraded as well. All of the wives are downgraded in their iser as well. The Rambam, we saw, paskind like Rabbi Yochanan, that halacha lemaisa, one brother acts on behalf of all of them, and one wife represents all of the wives as well. The next interesting case that we came to was the following situation, Tsaras Sota. What happens if you have a situation of a woman who committed adultery, right? And then her husband, we know she committed adultery, this Eidos, and her husband dies without children. What is the impact of this woman regarding Yibum? So ultimately, again, the Gemara comes to the conclusion, and this is indeed how the Rambam paskins, and this is the Rambam in Hilchos Yibum Perek Vav Halacha Yutes, that such a woman is Petura from Yibum and from Chalitza. In other words, that there is no Yibum and no Chalitza ultimately, again, to this particular woman. Now, what's interesting about this is as follows. The reason for that is because the Torah uses the Lashon of Tuma by adultery and the Lashon of Tuma by Erva, by Arayos. And the same way that if a woman is an Erva, right, let's say one of the widows is an Erva to the Yavam, she herself is exempt from Yibam and she exempts her co-wife, the same halacha will apply to a woman who definitively committed adultery. She will be Petura from Yibum, and ultimately, again, she exempts her co-wife as well. Now, however, this is different than a case of a suspected Sota. If a woman is suspected of adultery, and then her husband dies without children before having had the opportunity to administer the Sota process, in a situation like that, halacha lemaisa, the sota, who's the possible adulteress, she does chalitza and cannot do yibum, but the co-wife ultimately, again, has the ability to do yibum or chalitza. We finally came then to the third case that we dealt with, which was the case of Machzir Grushaso. Again, Reuven is married to Rachel and Leah. He goes ahead and he divorces Rachel. Rachel marries another man, unrelated. Halacha, she goes and marries Zevulun. Afterwards, she gets divorced from Zevulun. Reuven illegally remarries her. Not allowed to marry your grusha, your wife, after she marries someone else. He illegally remarries her, and then he dies without children. So now Rachel and Leah fall to Shimon in Yibum. So the shaila is, what is the impact, ultimately, again, of that relationship on the Yibum scenario? To which the Gemara explains that halacha lemaisa, and this is how the Rambam paskins as well, halacha lemaisa, the machzir grushaso, the wife who Reuven illegally remarried, i.e. Rachel, so she ultimately, again, has to do chalitza. she has to do chalitza. But the co-wife is unimpacted, and if Shimon, the surviving brother, wants to do yibum with the co-wife, she's absolutely eligible for that, and that is fine. That's the halacha l'maaseh. I'll say, so three important cases, three important halachas that come out of today's daf. I will just mention one other piece, which is that the Gemara mentions the opinion of Rebbe, and Rebbe is of the opinion that halacha l'maaseh, and actually we'll see this sugya later on, that when there are two wives who are eligible for yibum slash chalitza, if the yavam is going to do chalitza, he should do chalitza with the wife whose status will be least impacted. Because as we'll see, when a woman undergoes chalitza, she becomes like a quasi-grusha, like a quasi-divorcee. So if one of the wives, let's say for example, already has that status from a previous relationship, so we would do chalitza with her in order not to impact her status. So for example, if Reuven was married to Rachel and Leah, Reuven passed away, let's say Rachel was previously married, this was already Rachel's second marriage, she was divorced, she's a divorcee. So if Shimon, the surviving brother, is anyway going to do chalitza, we tell him better to do chalitza with Rachel because she already has the status of a grusha, she already can't marry a kohen, so chalitza doesn't really change her marital status. As opposed to if he were to do chalitza with Leah, who's now a widow can marry a kohen. If he does chalitza with her, she can't marry a kohen. We would urge the yavam to go ahead and do chalitza with the wife whose status won't be impacted. Of course, if both wives have the same status, then somebody's going to have to become the chalitza. But assuming we could kind of mitigate the halachic fallout of being a chalitza by doing chalitza dafka with one wife, we urge the yavam to do that. All right, Rabbi, say shkayach everyone. Wishing everyone a good Nerev Shabbos, a Freilichin Shushan Purim.